Is it Sunday yet? Almost, but actually, it's NFL draft night. I know I'm excited. I know Joe Beldner's excited. Joe Mason was so excited that he had to run out of town and not be here with us tonight. But we're about, what, T-minus less than 2 hours before the NFL draft. So if you're listening to this, the draft, the first round has already happened, potentially the second round if you're tuning in on like a Saturday. So we're either absolute prediction fiends or we're just complete idiots that are about to botch everything that's about to happen in the next 2 hours. So without further ado, how are you doing, Joe Beldner?
I'm doing great. I've been looking forward to this day. I was telling you yesterday, I watched Draft Day with Kevin Costner for the first time last night. Pretty cool movie. Fairly disappointed with how corny it was, but what are you gonna do? Yeah, what are you gonna do with that type of movie? But it's cool, like, to see. Like, I've heard it's semi-realistic on how trades are done for the draft and the unpredictability factors and all that. But I'm stoked that, you know, we're gonna find out where all these prospects are going in like 2 hours. We have all these rumors swirling about trades in the top 10. I'm thinking there's going to be a ton of them. So I just can't wait to see what actually happens.
Just to throw Joe under the bus right here, he did say he watched Draft Day, but his actual words was, I watched it and thought it sucked.
Yeah, so for people that like that movie, I apologize. I was it was funny because I'm like sitting there watching it with my fiance, because I dragged her into it too. And I see her watching TikToks within like the first 20 minutes. And I didn't have the heart to do anything about it, because I was like, I'm not really enjoying it either.
I've been watching those Star Wars series. I've been watching Mandalorian.
Nice.
The Boba Fett series. I had never gotten into it. And I mean, they're like 3 or 4 years old now. So
yeah, I'm not a big Star Wars guy. Big Harry Potter guy. And then
I'm getting a little sucked into it.
I just started Game of Thrones, which is crazy. And I've been loving Game of Thrones after, what has it been, like 6 years? I don't even know how many years it's been.
The Game of Thrones at quarterback has a new king.
Good transition.
And that is Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens signed a huge deal today, 5 years, $260 million. That's just such a ridiculous number to me.
It is.
Can you fathom earning $260 million over the next 5 years to take a beating to your body?
Absolutely.
Totally worth it.
Every penny.
Goodness gracious, that's Monopoly money. What do you do with that?
It's crazy. Yeah, you saw the Jalen Hurts deal first, and then you knew it was going to be a domino effect. Were the terms released yet of if it was fully guaranteed or how much was guaranteed? Because I know that was the big standstill.
Closest thing to me that I saw, I think it was probably one of the major two guys, the Schefter Rappaport, said 185.
Okay.
185 guaranteed.
I would be real happy with that if I were him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that he won't make the 200 plus, but
they're a team ready to make a big splash. You know, they already got OBJ. And, you know, there's been a lot of DeAndre Hopkins rumors swirling. I think.
Yeah.
If I had to say who's the team most likely to get him, the Ravens would be the top, with the Bills and Chiefs right behind them, and apparently possibly the Titans. But
I mean, you just traded for Gus Edwards.
I did, yeah, just because. So, yeah, let's do a little dynasty tip.
I mean, you got him for a fourth, so that's solid.
Exactly.
You had J.K. Dobbins, I think.
So a quote to apply to dynasty would be, one man's trash is another man's handcuff. So what you should do is, if you have a fourth round pick, I know on the Footballers Awesome New Dynasty podcast, they talked about it on the latest episode. Maybe it was a little inspiration for this trade, but your fourth round picks, your hit rate, very, very low of it panning out to be a player that you're actually going to hold on for your roster. So the way I looked at it is, okay, I have J.K. Dobbins. Has he gotten hurt before? Absolutely. And I would like to have the 28-year-old Gus Edwards on my team. We'll see if they bring in any other running backs in the draft tonight. But
I'm sure somebody.
Yeah, I would much rather have a handcuff running back than a fourth round pick. So if you have running backs very high volatility position when it comes to injuries. So I'd be very willing to trade a fourth round pick to ensure that you get a handcuff on your roster.
So you're telling me that like my fourth rounders this year aren't worth anything?
I mean, if you look at my, it's funny you ask, because if you look at my team and you look at all the picks I have, literally all I have, I think I have one third rounder this year, but then the rest are just ones and twos. Yeah. I've like completely gotten rid of my three and
I have your fourth rounder for 2023, the 409.
And you could hit, you know, there is a chance. Yeah,
I would like four shots at it instead of one.
That's what I'm saying.
Throw those guys on my taxi.
Go get your. I don't even know which player that would be in this draft class, but you never know.
Deuce Vaughn.
Exactly. Let's get that that short, really light guy on your team. He's going to gain some weight and he's going to take over the league.
He's going to replace Tutu Atwell.
Definitely could. You want to talk some NFL draft?
Absolutely. But I think you're going to lead the way because you wrote some articles recently about the upcoming draft.
Yeah.
So. Why don't you tell me some of your favorite guys in terms of NFL fit and also for fantasy?
Mm-hmm. So I've been absolutely burning myself out in the last week and a half. I've written like four articles within the span of like from the 17th to the 26th. So I'm reeling on the draft this year. I'm just trying to grind out content. And, you know, I think it's a pretty top heavy class. You know, you're going to get some deeper names. Draft capital is going to matter a ton. So thank God the draft's here so we could find out about some of these running backs. But I wrote a prospect profile article on Kendre Miller from TCU. And he's a player, you know, he fits all the size thresholds. Maybe got a little bit ignored because he had an MCL injury against, who were they playing in that game? University of Michigan. He wasn't able to play in that game. But I think that he's a player that if you were to get like day one, day two capital, even if you were to go round three to a decent landing spot, I think that he could be a player that could be really good. I would absolutely love it if he got drafted by like the Dallas Cowboys to complement Tony Pollard, and he could kind of be their thunder to his lightning. And then, you know, it's a funny tight end class. You know, you always have potential. You got Dalton Kincaid, who is super athletic, Michael Mayer, who he reminds me of Pat Freiermuth a lot. I could see him being that style more than like, you know, like a super athletic guy like we've recently seen with Greg Dulcich. I could see the Kincaid being that kind of fit. Then wide receivers all over the place. I love JSN. Like I covet him. I actually spent two firsts to first I had the 104. Ended up doing a deal to get Waddle, and I like JSN so much that I had to get back a pick that would give me the rights to draft him because I've done so much research, and I think he's going to be like such a good player in the NFL. To be determined. Maybe he goes to a horrible landing spot tonight and has Will Levis as his quarterback next year. You never know. But I love JSN.
Where do you see Will Levis going?
That's a crazy question because you've seen all the rumors.
Is the Colts.
So, you know, he's got that Kentucky blue, so I could totally see him in a Colts uniform, which is kind of unfair.
Isn't that far. I mean, Lexington's a bit further away than where I am in Cincinnati, but like Indianapolis is in the three state radius of it's not too far of a trip to get from Kentucky to Indianapolis. But I don't know. Jim Irsay is just a wild card.
Part of me thinks that the Colts are almost definitely going to end up with either Will Levis or Anthony Richardson. So if I had to put a bet on Will Levis would go, I would say Indianapolis. But I could almost equally see them going Anthony Richardson.
So, yeah, why don't you tell me what your guesses are? Let's make some guesses here.
Mm-hmm.
The top four quarterbacks, Young, Stroud, Levis, Richardson, maybe throw Hooker in there too.
Okay.
Where is Bryce Young going?
Yeah, I'm going to say absolutely he's going to the Carolina Panthers. I've thought that he's been the best quarterback in this class for a long time now. Almost got on the CJ Stroud train a little bit because I was like, maybe I'm being a little bit stupid. like all these people that I really respect their opinions are like, you know, going crazy about the size concerns and everything. But continuously watched tape. I continuously thought that Bryce Young has that it factor that I just don't think Stroud has. I think Stroud's going to be a franchise quarterback, not saying he's going to be a bust or anything, but I just think that Bryce Young's really special. And I think Carolina feels similarly. And I think he's most definitely going to be the number one pick tonight. What about you?
It's all leaning that way. I don't know. Until that whole S2 cognition test came out.
Oh, man.
I feel like Stroud had some momentum going there.
18th percentile.
You look at his stats, and they're just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good passer in terms of, on paper, what you look at. He was on a great team. It wasn't like he was playing in a poor conference or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, people were like, he's dumb or something. I don't know. But then there was the contradiction that that person who like made the test or whatever said that everyone did fine. So did we ever get clarity on what that actually was about?
Yeah, so I recently wrote a profile with Player Profiler on the S2 cognition, and we talked about CJ Stroud a decent amount in it. And the co-founder of the test actually said to take the recent reports of, you know, like all the scoring with a grain of salt. So that kind of intensified the lack of clarity that we have on the scoring on the test. But I feel like 18th percentile, like that number doesn't come out of nowhere.
Right.
I don't think that he did very well on the test. How much that matters?
Who takes that test? Like, who is he being compared to?
I think most of the quarterback prospects, and it's been around for the last 7 years. Okay. So I think it's a little funny that like there's been this weird obsession in the last week over this test, because it's not something that's like crazy new.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know if it's like, you know, like more hype about the test than anything else, but I also don't think it should go fully ignored. I think it's more of a positive, like, you know, if let's say Bryce Young got a 98, like it was reported.
Yeah.
Guy like him where there's concerns about his size and things like that, it's like, okay, well, this guy has a Drew Brees like mindset. He sees the field differently. I think there's a positive there.
If you swap the names on these scores, what is happening? Do you think it had an impact? Like if Bryce Young scored the 18% percentile and CJ Stroud was 98.
Yeah, it might absolutely.
Are we talking CJ Stroud number one?
Depending on how NFL scouts feel.
Because for a while, CJ Stroud was fully in the conversation for number one.
Absolutely.
And it's been weird to see. Now he might not even be the second quarterback taken.
Yeah, it's been weird to see that slip. But with the S2 cognition, I think ultimately what I would take away from it is if you're seeing the stats and watching tape on a guy and you have some like head scratching, you know, like Will Levis, for instance, he lacks pocket awareness when you review his tape, but apparently he did very well on the test. I don't know. CJ Stroud, when I watch his tape, I have zero concerns about his pocket awareness. I have zero concerns about his decision making. Sure, he has like the best wide receiver talent that you could possibly have, but I think that he is a great decision maker, a good leader. Nothing makes me question his football IQ when I watch his tape. So like, I'm not really looking at the S2 and being like that concerned. But if it were like Will Levis who bombed the test, then I'd be like, okay, this kind of makes sense to me. So I think if the tape matches the test score, then you might have something.
Okay. I mean, Anthony Richardson, I'm looking here, 79th percentile. Hendon mm-hmm. Hooker, 46.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
And this is like, I mean, I just pulled up a random article, but it's saying that the S2 scores relating to their performance in the NFL of 27 starting quarterbacks found that the S2 score had equaled 28.7% of their career passer rating, which who knows, how does that even calculate it?
I don't know.
We shall see. I think Bryce Young goes number one as well. But so where do you see CJ Stroud going?
So there's been a lot of weird speculation with the Texans pick. And I've always thought it made so much sense that, you know, if Bryce Young's not there, you need a quarterback. CJ Stroud's the next best quarterback in the class by far, in my opinion, and the most NFL ready. Not saying the Texans are anywhere ready to compete or anything, but I think they ultimately take CJ Stroud with the second pick. I don't think they'll take like Will Levis or Anthony Richardson there. I really think they either trade the pick, they take Stroud, or they take Will Anderson. But if I had to put money on it, I think they're taking CJ Stroud.
All right. I would hope so, because I just put a couple bucks on Will Anderson going number three. Whether it's the Cardinals or not, I think, I don't know. I guess if you're assuming that the Colts are going to take a quarterback and you want to jump them to get the quarterback that you want at three, I can see that scenario taking place. But
Where the Colts
with
jump up
these,
to three.
I don't know, recent history tells us that if someone's going to trade for like a top five pick, it usually takes place before the draft. Like what we saw with the Panthers trading up to number one. It would take some bold cojones to like, okay, this is a split second decision. This guy's there at three. Let's make it happen. The trade I presume would be have been discussed already with the Cardinals. It looks like they are going to trade the three pick based on initial reports coming out on like all the Twitter sources. Who knows what to believe? I liked a quote from Howie Roseman that came out, I think, this week or late last week, where he was like, all these rumors you see, like, none of these GMs are just going to broadcast what they're going to do. So, yeah, you can make educated guesses, but nobody is just giving out their strategy unless it's, I guess, the number one pick, because no one's leapfrogging you.
And I want to be strategic
It's
or
not
smart.
advantageous.
Yeah, not at all. But so with the third pick, like you were saying, Arizona is expected to trade it. I see Tennessee jumping there, and I think they're going to take Anthony Richardson. The reason I feel that way really is because we saw them take Malik Willis last year, and maybe their coaching staff has they envision an offense with a mobile quarterback. Like, Malik Willis was supposed to be this mobile quarterback. Obviously, he was taken later. Originally thought to be a first round pick by many fantasy circles, but that didn't pan out on draft day. But they picked him anyway. And I think that Anthony Richardson is a much better version of Malik Willis in terms of being like super athletic, big arm. I would kind of hate that landing spot for him, both developmentally and for the assets on the Tennessee Titans. But I could totally see it happening. So if I had to guess where Anthony Richardson is going, I think it's the third pick via trade, going to the Tennessee Titans.
I don't want to just agree with you, so
You absolutely
I'm
can.
gonna
Here
dispute you.
we go.
I think he goes to the Raiders at seven.
Okay. That's totally makes sense.
Grab a developmental quarterback to play behind Jimmy G.
And I think
See how
that's
it
Will
goes.
Levis.
You think that's Will Levis?
Yeah, I think Will Levis goes to
I
the
think
Raiders.
well, I think Will Levis goes to the Colts.
I could see that too.
So what do we got? Bryce Young to the Panthers, CJ Stroud to the Texans, Anthony Richardson, you say the Titans, I say the Raiders. Will Levis, where do you think he's going? The Raiders?
If I had to
And I'll
guess, I
say
would see the
Colts.
Colts. Yeah, if
Oh
I
yeah,
put money
okay.
on it, it would be the Colts. I was just saying more that
Okay.
I think if the Raiders were to draft a quarterback, it would be Will Levis slipping.
And what about Hendon Hooker? Does he go in round one?
I think yes. I think some quarterback needy teams that are less needy, like there's a couple teams out there like Minnesota, for instance. I could see Minnesota drafted him.
I think he falls.
You think if I mean it would make if I was an NFL GM, I'd probably let him fall. He's older. Even
He's
though like
coming off an injury.
coming off an injury, not the highest S2
Because
test.
I don't know. I mean, we're talking in retrospect. Hindsight is 2020.
So
But
do you
look,
think he's like a round two pick?
well, I'm just saying, like, look at Jalen Hurts. I don't know, was Jalen Hurts a better prospect than Hendon Hooker? Maybe. He went in round two. And everyone ridiculed the Eagles, which, I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of it either. I'm not going to lie. it didn't really make sense that we thought that we had our franchise quarterback, and here we are taking Jalen Hurts in round two after he got basically ousted from Alabama and sent and transferred to Oklahoma. We're like, what are we doing? And this was after they took Rager ahead of Justin Jefferson. There's an absolute skies falling moment. And somehow, Howie Roseman, that dude has the resilience of, if you're a Star Wars fan, which you're not, I don't, oh man, Beskar Steel, that's what a Mandalorian has. That dude has just come from like the grave more than the Undertaker. Everyone hated Howie after that draft. And now we're like all about him again because he's
It's
a
amazing
wizard.
what winning can do.
I still stand by the fact he's not very good at drafting.
No.
He got lucky with the Jalen Hurts pick. He's a wizard with a contract and the salary cap, though.
You guys have a pretty good pick tonight too. What do you think they're gonna trade up? Stay, where are you guys 10?
Number 10, the hotness is Bijan Robinson. I think that if Jalen Carter gets past like six, they might try to trade up to get him. I don't know. I'm seeing rumors that they might try to just trade up all the way to three and get Will Anderson,
That would be
which would be
absolutely nuts.
interesting. I don't think that they should take a running back at number 10. They lost a significant amount of their depth, both on defense and offensive line, and so they have to replenish that through the draft. Because they lost Isaac Seumalo. Wait, no, that did they? Shoot. Did they lose him?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You're the Eagles expert of the podcast for sure.
I think they did. I mean, they lost Andre Dillard. He was their backup tackle. They lost two of their linebackers. They lost Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Like they have holes that they got to fill. They might be coming off of a Super Bowl loss, but they have to replenish their depth. I mean, there's guys in the wings ready to step up. I mean, you have Jordan Davis ready to take over for Javon Hargrave, who they lost also. They picked up, who's that safety that they picked up? From the Steelers, a decent depth guy. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Not too sure.
Yeah.
Y'all are stacked on
They
defense,
need
though. That's the only thing I know.
defensive depth. They don't really have anybody behind Slay and Bradbury, which, I mean, they're both like 30 and 32, so I
Transitioning off of
hopefully
that.
take a cornerback, hopefully take a defensive lineman.
But transitioning off of that, I feel like in this draft class, the cornerbacks are like kind of going ignored. Last year's class, we had Sauce Gardner. Who the Texans select? Before him, it was his name is absolutely slipping from my brain. But anyway, so they had like high profile cornerbacks in that draft. I think they're almost going kind of ignored because last year we didn't really have high taking quarterbacks, and now we have all these quarterbacks that are supposed to go in the top 10. And we have like Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, got these huge guys. But I wouldn't be surprised if you'd see like Devin Witherspoon. Or Christian Gonzalez, going like maybe six and seven back to back after those
Derek
quarterbacks
Stingley
are taken.
Jr. was the guy who got picked.
That's who it was. Yeah, he was super fast from LSU. Thank God the Jets took Sauce Gardner
Oh
because
my goodness.
that's
Yeah,
my
they
dude.
lucked out. I
Big
mean, they
time.
didn't luck out. They picked a good player.
Absolutely.
So we picked the quarterbacks. I don't remember if we even said where Hendon Hooker would end up.
I'm
My
gonna
guess is he
guess.
falls to day two and
And
goes to
goes.
like the Packers.
I can see that. I'm gonna say he ends up in with Minnesota.
Okay. Fair
Like,
enough. So where does Bijan Robinson end up?
my heart's been telling me number eight to Atlanta. And I like that landing spot for him. Sorry, Tyler Allgeier stands. But yeah, I think Bijan goes to Atlanta at eight. What are you thinking? I know your head's probably spinning with the Eagles rumors, but if you had to guess where he's going, where are you thinking?
It's so hard to say what teams will do and when he will get picked. And so, like, I mean, landing spot and fit, it makes so much sense for the Cowboys, as much as I hate to admit it.
No, it
But
absolutely does.
the idea that he's going to fall to 26 feels unlikely as we're like an hour and 20 minutes out from the draft and I haven't seen anything that would indicate he's going to be slipping tonight. But weirder things have happened. If you're looking at he's going to go in the top 10, I could see the Titans dealing Derrick Henry, grabbing him at 11 if he falls that far.
Me too.
I could
Texans
see,
at 12.
Yeah, Texans at 12. They could, I mean, Damian Pierce. You know I love me some hating Damian Pierce.
Me too.
The Seahawks, no. The Colts, obviously, no. The Cardinals, I mean, if they trade back, what's stopping them from taking Bijan? James Conner's not going to – I mean, James Conner's aging out.
That would honestly be a pretty good pick for them.
Panthers, no, because they're going to pick net number one. They're not trading back. Although I saw – everyone's creating nonsense. They're not trading the first pick.
Yeah, if Bijan slips, I could see him going 16th to the Commanders. I know they want to establish the run, and
yeah,
they have a decent running attack right now, but they don't have a Bijan level talent.
Yeah, if the Chargers somehow figured out a way to trade Austin Eckler, that's a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens always want running backs. They've had no stability there. So that's like a dark horse to me. Because why not? I mean, they're running
offense.
I hate
that for J.K. Dobbins.
But J.K. has not stayed on the field enough for me to have confidence in him long term.
Nope.
Yeah, Giants won't. Jaguars won't. Vikings, very unlikely. Bills, who knows? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Bills trade up, get Bijan. That would be deadly. That would be filthy.
It would be unreal.
But not that great for his fantasy prospects. For the Bills winning games, sure. But the Bills rushing attack is kind of vultured and usurped by Josh Allen, although he did say he wanted to run less, so Bijan would be a good opportunity to do so. Right here I'm looking at a mock draft, and it has Jahmyr Gibbs going to Buffalo. So I'm curious, where do you want him to go, and where do you think he's going to go?
You know, Miami's a perfect fit because they have all these fast guys, and he would fit in pretty perfectly. If the Bengals
they would
move
have
on,
to make some deals for that because they're not picking
until
the second round late.
They'd have to move up. But
if only they hadn't been illegally talking to Tom Brady. They could have picked at 21.
Yeah. But the Bengals at 28 makes sense to me if they want to move on from Joe Mixon. You know, Gibbs isn't really a bruiser, but he would be crazy in that offense. I think most players would be crazy in that offense. Trying to see where else. What are you thinking?
I could see the Eagles getting him at 30.
Yeah, that'd be.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's particularly likely. And because we're talking about Jahmyr Gibbs as like a late first, maybe early second round player, it is impossible to pick the movement during the draft night, the swapping of picks. And so
exactly.
Looking at this order as it stands right now, I could see him going around pick 30. Whether mm-hmm. that's the Eagles or not is up for debate. But I think if I had to like say what pick is he going to get taken at, I would say like 30, maybe 32, just out of the first round. Somebody doesn't want to pick him with that fifth year option, but wants him really bad, trades up to pick 32, which this year is the second round because of that forfeited pick. We saw that happen last year with Breece Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I think Breece Hall is a much better prospect.
Me too.
But I could see someone who wants Jahmyr Gibbs to trade up to that spot in the early second round to steal him, knowing that they don't have to pay him the first round money, but you're basically getting him at the end of the first.
Yeah. And I think that Jahmyr Gibbs is more likely to be an early second round pick. But if a team like, you know, if like I mentioned the Joe Mixon trade for the Bengals, or if the Chargers were to move on from Austin Eckler after his displeasure, I think that he would definitely be an ideal replacement there in that evolving offense, new offensive coordinator. So I could see that happening too. So pretty much I think if you were to go in the first round, it would involve a team moving on from their current running back one.
Who is going to be the third running back drafted?
I'm going to guess Zach Charbonnet.
I think that's a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
I know Joe Mason thinks Tank Bigsby is going to be the third running back.
That's a bold take. If I had to, I like Kendre Miller, so he'd be my other. I don't like a lot of people like A-Chain.
Devin
from,
A-Chain.
Yeah, or Devon, I believe it is. I'm not too positive.
Oh, Devon. But, yeah. I think you're right. We looked it up.
Devon A-Chain. But
he's. I mean, the same concerns about Gibbs apply to him.
Yeah, even worse. He's even smaller.
He's even smaller, but he has more rushing.
Yeah.
Like, he was more productive rushing the ball than Gibbs ever was.
Mm-hmm. I think that he's not going to be a great NFL player, unfortunately. I think he's going to have a role for a team, but being on fantasy radars, I don't really see it. But, yeah, I would say Zach Charbonnet would be, you know, a second-round pick. He's kind of the type of prospect where I see him coming in and ruining someone's backfield. Like, I think he's going to go somewhere messy. And, you know, like maybe he goes to Chicago. Maybe he goes to the Buccaneers and ruins the Rashad White hype. You know, I could see him going to a couple of teams where you have
Isn't
a prospect.
Charbonnet or
Charbonnet.
Yeah.
I could see him going somewhere where maybe there's a young running back there that people have some hype going into the season as of now. And just, you know, him just being this bowling ball, pretty good
pass
catcher.
I mean, I think the feasibility of Charbonnet going to Dallas is more feasible than Bijan ending up there somehow.
Definitely. And I think he would be a great fit there.
And was it you mentioning it just a little bit ago that you think that Kendre Miller would be good in Dallas?
Yeah, similar reason why Zach Charbonnet would be good in Dallas.
All right, let's plow through some wide receivers and tight ends, unless you have anything else to add about running backs.
No, I think that's
good.
We're
kind of just going with the flow here. We don't even have a show doc, so we're just spitballing here. Just
Spitballers podcast.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Wish they were a sponsor.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, once in a blue moon, we were like, oh, man, maybe we could be the Dynasty podcast. And then they got the same idea as we did. And
we keep having
already worked for them.
We keep having good ideas that come into fruition before we get our chance.
I know.
Like the Almost Sunday Football podcast, I came up with this name a while back, made the logo and everything. And then I think it's Barstool or one of those started the almost game day or something.
Yeah, is that what that like that font that's stylized?
Yeah, because they had the Almost Friday thing going on, but then they switched it to Almost Game Day. And I was like, wow. This is exactly what I was thinking when I made this.
Big oof moment.
Whatever.
We're just small potatoes.
Small potatoes.
We're just two guys chatting about football.
Sometimes
I
three.
Said no real friend. No, it's like, I can't speak for Joe, though. I can only speak for myself that I don't have any real friends.
Yes, you do. You're talking to one.
That's what I mean. I just never met you in person.
It's true, bro. All right, wide receivers.
Things are getting deep here on a Thursday.
We're having a deep pre-draft episode right now. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba is my dude.
Is it Njigba or Njigba?
Either way.
Nobody knows, but it's provocative.
Exactly. It's like a Jay-Z, Kanye West song, but which we will not say the title of. But continued. I think that he goes to the Packers at 13. I think that a big part of that trade was to move up from 15 to 13. I think they want that wide receiver. I think they're trying to give Jordan Love a chance. And right now they have no money on the table for the wide receivers. It's like, you know, you got Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. Like they don't really have a tight end either. So you could go that route of thinking maybe they go for Michael Mayer or Dalton Kincaid. But I just think why waste a pick that high on a tight end when you could get your stud wide receiver most likely. So I'm guessing that he goes there.
So it's pretty much agreed that JSN is going to go the first wide receiver off the board.
Addison would be the other one that I could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we keep getting that wrong. As far as year to year, first wide receiver off the board, I mean, we thought it was going to be. I mean, wait, when did Henry Ruggs was the first wide receiver picked?
Yeah,
The
it was
year
wild.
that CeeDee Lamb was in the draft. And I mean, Justin Jefferson, Jalen Reagor. There was another guy in between there, too. Can't recall. I just want to block out that memory. Oh, Jerry Jeudy.
Oh yeah, of
Yeah, so
course.
Henry Ruggs all of a sudden going to the Raiders before all those guys. What a mess that was. Would you be shocked if JSN's not the first wide receiver?
No, I wouldn't be. We have these ideas in our head, but we're not the NFL GMs. It really comes down to who they have on their board. I could see Addison going before JSN. I could see a team going for the size of Quentin Johnson. I could see someone really liking the hype of Zay Flowers, even though I'm not too sure he's going to develop into something that great at the NFL level. But any of those names, I wouldn't be too shocked. Now, if like you were saying, like Jalin Hyatt or like Josh Downs, player like of that caliber going before JSN, don't see something like that happening. But
Who
that
was the
would kind of
fastest?
the fastest.
Yeah. Who was the fastest wide receiver in the combine?
Trying to remember.
Whoever that is, the Raiders are going to pick him at seven.
Or Patriots,
Yeah,
for that
right.
matter. Yeah, they love their super fast, no hands wide receivers. Tyquan Thorne.
right, so over under five wide receivers in the first round.
Let me see. I think JSN's going first. I think Jordan Addison's going first, without a doubt. Quentin Johnston, I don't see him escaping like the Vikings. So that's three right there. Then Zay Flowers, I think a team takes a chance on. I know the Giants need wide receivers. So that's four. So I feel confident, pretty confident about four. And then I could see like someone taking a risk on like a Jalin Hyatt that wants a super, vertical fast threat
Yeah.
late in the first round. But if I had to put money on it, I would say four wide receivers taken in the first.
I think that's a pretty safe bet. I could see a fifth sliding into the back of the first round. I'm gonna say over. I think that's a perfect line, four. I think the actual Vegas line is 4.5. So you could have just like taken the push or whatever. The even. So four and a, I said four. I'm gonna say five. Don't know who that fifth is going to be, but there are candidates there, like Downs, like Hyatt.
Some sneaky guys, you have Marvin Mims, Jonathan Mingo is getting some hype from Ole Miss. So it really comes down, one of these NFL GMs might be a lot higher on
Right.
one of these wide receivers than the rest, and that's all it takes.
There's definitely ego at play with these NFL GMs too, trying to outsmart everybody and just dunk on them a year from now or whatever when somebody puts up good numbers.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, it's all a crapshoot. With every hit, there's going to be a bust. Probably, what is the hit rate of the first round is probably like 50% or under if we were at the if we were to really analyze it from each position standpoint. Every year, within like week 10, they're already putting out those like revisiting the NFL draft, repicking the NFL draft. What would the order be? Sauce Gardner, number one.
It's always what it, yeah, it's always much different than it ends up. But Jordan Addison is who I expect either to be the first or the second. So after JSN, and I'm pretty split. I think he's either going to be the 20th pick or the 21st pick. And it would be either to the Seahawks at 20 or the Chargers at 21. I would love to see him go to the Chargers just fit wise, but I'm not sure that he escapes not going 20.
It is wild that it's a new era at wide receiver where three out of the four top wide receiver options based on consensus are
Little
under
dudes.
6 foot or six foot
Yeah.
one. I mean, JSN's just like a little bit over 6 foot, and then you got Zay Flowers under 5'10", Jordan Addison and Jordan Addison under 6 foot, Quentin Johnston 6'3". So he's now the outlier.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, that would be in the opposite case.
And when it comes to meeting those size thresholds at the wide receiver position, I think it really comes down to like you have to be an elite caliber wide receiver, which I think Jordan Addison absolutely is. I think he's like, you know, maybe not as good as DeVonta Smith, but you know, from the same cloth of player. Like I can never say the award correct, but the if you want to do it for
Biletnikoff?
me, yeah,
Is that
exactly. There we go.
the wide receiver? Yeah.
Yeah, it is, but I was about to butcher it. But you know, he won that award, and he's a hell of a wide receiver. Where like you know, you see some of the other guys like Josh Downs, Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers, I have questions about the competition he played against. Josh Downs, I just think that he's going to be you know, a pretty good slot wide receiver, but nothing too special at the NFL level. But Addison could really be like that DeVonta Smith, Calvin Ridley type player. But no, it's been really interesting to see these guys be like so much, you know, they don't have to be super tall. They could be skinny and lanky, and have a lot of success in the league. So there's definitely been a shift in your typical wide receiver in modern NFL. So it's been cool to see. Where do you think he's going to go?
Who's he?
Jordan Addison.
Jordan Addison? Good grief. You're putting me on the spot. I have no idea at this point. I don't even want to make a guess. Let's see. Who needs a wide receiver?
Chargers.
Chargers. I'll go with the Chargers, my friend.
There we go. And then if we're
Chargers.
just looking at like some of the other wide receivers, like I think
Keep him in LA.
Quentin Johnston makes a lot of sense for the Vikings. They need a wide receiver too. He'd be a big body with yak ability to complement Justin Jefferson. And then Zay Flowers, you know, he could go to the Bills at 27. I could see that happening. So they need a couple more pass catchers. But you know, we could guess all we want.
Yeah.
And the two of us are sitting here right now and we know we're gonna be so wrong.
We're just having fun here. Yeah. I was just
Yeah.
thinking, there's no right answer to this question, so don't feel like you're under pressure to have a response that is like correct. But from an NFL team building perspective, do you think that you should just double down and dominate a certain position, or should you just have evenly spread depth? I'm thinking about my own team, the Eagles. They have two absolutely stud wide receivers. They have DeVonta Smith, AJ Brown. Does it make any sense for them to like pick up a first round talent wide receiver to play slot or whatever? Or should they focus on other things? Because that's kind of the predicament that I feel a lot of teams end up in is like, okay, we got this position locked down and we're looking at on paper their depth and saying they got two great wide receivers. Why would they pick a receiver in the first or second round? But I
It's
also
a
don't necessarily think like an NFL GM.
yeah, it's a tough question. And I think like it's really, you know, team approach based also. Like, you know, the Eagles, they like to run the ball a lot also, even though they have success with those huge AJ Brown plays and DeVonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, very capable pass catchers. But you know, you bring in a guy like let's say Jaxon Smith-Njigba into that offense, obviously it's gonna be crazy. It's not gonna be a bad thing.
Not
But
good for
the
fantasy,
No,
but
not good for
as
fantasy,
a
but
fan of
for
that
the
team.
exactly. But you know, there's so many other positions to address, like you were saying. So it really doesn't make sense to, you know, like obviously you're building a roster. Why wouldn't you want three, you know, crazy first round wide receivers? But you have so many other positions to address. And you were saying like defensive depth and stuff, you know, you have that side of the ball also. So that's what I guess my take on it is like having two amazing wide receivers is one thing, but yeah, having that third one, maybe not so necessary.
It's tough for me as an Eagles fan seeing that they have the 10th pick because this is a luxury that you don't typically have. You don't usually lose the Super Bowl and pick top 10.
Yeah, it's
And
awesome.
so it almost makes me want to just like go big, take Bijan Robinson. When are you going to have another chance to do that?
Absolutely. Risk
But
it to get the biscuit.
we're going to
You
find
have
out in
your.
about 2 hours when they're.
Yeah.
How long is the clock in the first round?
I think like 10 or 15 minutes.
Goodness. It's
It's gonna be a
so
long night.
boring between
Yeah, it's gonna be a
picks.
long night. I just sit there on Twitter Like I'm listening, and like I don't know.
And then they're just breaking the pick before it even gets announced, and then you're just waiting again, even though
Yeah.
you already know what the pick was at two, and you're waiting for now three, and then they leak three. You might as well just be on Twitter and not watch it and listen to Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr.
I love, like, I don't know. I've always loved the if the players at the draft, the interview when they get picked, and
The
they
sounds of the
show.
draft.
Yeah, they always show the
Ding,
video of
da-da-ding,
someone at
ding,
home.
ding. That's the Harry Potter theme.
No, they're about the same. They are
Ding,
about the
da-da-ding,
same.
ding, 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 ding. What is
The
the
pick is
draft
in.
one? Now I can't even think of it.
Yeah, no, I absolutely won't be able to do it after you just said it sounded like the Harry Potter, because I'll absolutely just
If I
repeat the
were a
Harry Potter.
producer at ESPN, I would just try to throw in like the Harry Potter little segment of the song and see if anybody notices.
Oh my God.
Ding ding ding. No, that's Lord of the Rings. Ding 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 ding.
It's very close to both. If you were to find a middle ground between Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, you have the
It's
NFL
the
draft
NFL
signal.
draft
That's how they
signal
made
that a
it.
pick is in.
Oh man.
Goodness. I think that's a time. Oh, tight end. We got to talk about tight end.
True. So the tight end position, there's a couple of teams that, you know, I think the only two tight ends that are going to go in the first round are Michael Mayer and Dalton Kincaid. I don't see Sam Laporta or like Luke Musgrave or Darnell Washington. That's the big Georgia guy. We got some noise going on in the background, but yeah, I don't see any of those guys going in the first round. But I see, you know, the Lions don't have a tight end. The Commanders don't have a tight end, really. The Cowboys could use one. And there's one other team that I'm thinking that I'm kind of blanking on. I know the Bengals could kind of use a tight end.
Don't be shocked if the Eagles take one of these guys.
You think so?
Honestly, think about they had Ertz and they took Goddard in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
They prioritize the tight end position in their offense for blocking and for pass catching. If Howie
Then I
Roseman
guess
thinks that the value is there in one of these guys like Luke, not Luke Musgrave, Tucker Craw,
Tucker Kraft or Croft.
Tyler Kroft is in the NFL.
Yeah. Tucker Kraft.
I think it's Kraft, yeah. But anyway, the draft sound is ding 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 ding.
Oh yeah, there we go.
That is an in between.
It
with
is.
Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter.
You already know that's all I'm going to be hearing tonight when it plays.
It's Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
Tucker Kraft. And because the Eagles, I mean, he's supposed to be a day two pick, so don't expect him to go on day one. Tucker Kraft, though, where did he go to school? Do you know?
It's really random. Like North something. What is it?
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State.
Where did Dallas Goedert go to school?
South Dakota State.
South Dakota State. The connection is there.
We got it.
Let's see. I guess in that case, the Eagles are going to take Quentin Johnston because
Wentz went to North
they
Dakota.
They take TCU wide receivers.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Wentz went to North Dakota State.
Nice.
The Dakotas have
and
worked
then
out decent.
Trey Lance.
Eagles.
Trey Lance
Trey
went
Lance
to.
Also went to North Dakota State.
Okay. A lot of Dakotas.
And if you've ever beautiful states, but there's not much going on up there.
No. I find it funny how like you get these great players that go to such random schools. You got like Josh Allen, Wyoming. Just
Wyoming. I've never been there, but I can't imagine there's much.
When I did my road trip from New Jersey to Yosemite National Park in California, on the way home, we were picking cities blindly, you know, because we've never been to any of these places. And one of the cities that we mapped out was Cheyenne, Wyoming. And we drove like, you know, like 8 hours to get there. And we arrive, and it was just so depressing. The walking
oh,
around
man.
the town and
Don't,
stuff that I was just like, oh
don't
man.
Offend any Cheyenne,
yeah,
Wyoming
no,
residents
if
here.
you're from Cheyenne, I'm very sorry, but we kept driving. We didn't spend the night, but yeah, Wyoming has some beautiful mountains, really nice national parks that I'd like to get to.
I think that's it, right?
Think so. Is there any, do you have like any players that could get have their stock ruined tonight that you're just really hoping somebody doesn't get drafted, or you're hoping somebody gets traded? Because like I'm hoping Dalvin Cook gets traded. I want to see Alexander Mattison, and then
Madison, goodness gracious. Did
I
you just coin
traded.
that phrase?
I didn't coin it. It's been going,
Okay.
but I made a trade for Jake Ferguson in Dynasty. I thought that he was like a great value for just the potential opportunity. So I would like to see Kincaid and Mayer go before Dallas, because I think if they're there, Dallas has taken one of them. But I would love to see them address different positions and really give him, or who's the other dude that's really tall with a funny name? Hendershot.
Oh, Peyton
Peyton
Hendershot.
Hendershot. Yeah, Hendershot. Hendershot. I'd like to see them just roll out those two and see if any of them could end up being the next Dalton Schultz over there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like wide receiver twos. If the Texans take a wide receiver, it's going to kill a lot of the value of that whole receiving core. I mean,
Sean Mechie.
it might help the rookie, but we got John Metchie, who was a pretty high pick before he had his cancer diagnosis. Robert Woods is there now. Nico Collins. It's a lot of ambiguity in that wide receiver room in Houston. So the addition of a high drafted rookie would definitely make it even more ambiguous, which could be good and bad. You get a if you hit on the guy who's going to be good, which is not even guaranteed that a guy's going to be good if they have a rookie quarterback or still Davis Mills. But anyway, yeah, Tyler Allgeier is definitely at risk here. Rashad White, to a lesser extent, I think, if they get another running back that is going to compete for carries.
I'd say on the wide receiver front, low key guys that, they're still young and people have had hope in dynasty circles, but their days are numbered and it could be ending tonight. KJ Osborne on the Vikings,
I
and
was
then
just trying
Josh.
to figure out his. I was like, "Who's that receiver on the
It
Vikings?"
read your mind a little
I
bit.
opened a tab to Google it.
So KJ Osborne, and then I would say Josh Palmer on the Chargers. Those are two guys, similar scenarios that I could definitely see their situations getting ruined and then going into Dynasty Oblivion.
Also, I mean, if it hasn't already been ruined by just the OBJ signing, Rashad Bateman's stock is an all-time low. So if the Ravens take another wide receiver in the draft, he's bust. He's a bust.
It's true.
That's them admitting that he's a bust.
Then also same. I'm just thinking as you name guys, it's making me think of other guys. Gabe Davis. It didn't happen last year. If
I
they
think
take
less
a.
so because they didn't sign anybody, right? He would still be the two or three. I don't think his role would particularly change.
Yeah, I think it would be more if they got D Hop or something like that.
Yeah.
So maybe that'd be a little bit different. But if they got like a Zay Flowers was who I was mocking them to
And don't
get.
forget, Zeke Elliott and Kareem Hunt are still on the market.
What about Fournette?
Oh, Fournette. I didn't even
Yeah,
remember
everyone forgets about
him.
Fournette. I was talking about somebody today, and we were talking about the running backs, and we both forgot about Fournette, and we were like, "Oh my God,
There's
they're
just
just."
until the training camp injuries and everything, nobody wants injuries, but they are inevitable. You just have a surplus. You don't even know what to do with these players. There's too many, there's always more people coming in than there are going out. And
It's
so
nuts.
until we get more clarity in training camp and in the preseason, we're about to get real crowded in a lot of depth charts. And that starts tonight.
I'm stoked. I
Any other
absolutely can't
parting
wait.
words? Biggest surprise. What's going to be the biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise. I think maybe it's not a huge surprise because there's been rumors, but I think Dalvin Cook gets traded to the Miami Dolphins tonight.
Okay. Here's my biggest surprise. Bijan falls out of the top 20.
Wow.
I'm not, that's just a bold take.
Yeah. But you know, if
I
it
think there's going to
happens,
be a lot of chicken going on with the teams because nobody wants to pick a running back early.
you see it happen sometimes.
And so
Yeah, bro.
there might be trades that keep people are trading back, thinking maybe he's still going to be there, maybe he's still going to be there, and then they just keep trading back and trading back. And you hit teams with running backs that are already established. The Jets aren't taking him. The Patriots might take him. I don't know. Like the teams that aren't going to take him already have established running backs at the top. The Colts aren't taking him. The Seahawks aren't taking him. The Lions probably won't take him because they got Montgomery and Swift. The Raiders just signed Josh Jacobs. They're not taking him. Falcons, they might be like, okay, we got too many more holes. We're not taking him. Bears aren't taking him because we got too many holes. We'll trade back. We'll trade back. Titans, Derrick Henry's our guy still. We're not taking him. I mean, you just keep going. You can find ways why teams wouldn't take him.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden you're getting into the 20s, and he's sitting there. The Ravens are picking at 22, and then they take him. I don't know. That's my bold take.
One last bold take.
Bijan
You were bolder.
to the Ravens at 22.
Yours was a lot bolder than mine, and I like that you picked a prospect rather than an already established player. So I'm going to say that Will Levis falls to the end of the first round.
Okay, I can see that.
Maybe
What's
like,
the
you know,
furthest that CJ Stroud could fall?
I don't see him getting past the Titans.
At 11?
Yeah.
I would agree. That was what I would have said.
Very
All right.
well.
The table is set.
It is.
We'll be laughing at each other next week when we talk about this.
Big time. And Mason could just kick back and laugh at us because he's gonna have to make a fool of himself.
All right. Well, this is the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening along. We'll be back next week to talk about the results of the NFL draft. We'll have all 7 rounds done by then. Plenty of talk about getting ready for startup drafts, getting ready for rookie drafts. It's about to get a lot of fun. It's about to become a lot of fun. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy this weekend, Joe. I'll see you next week.
Later.
How do you know, man?